Welcome to Nelson and your audio guide to the Merrill Memorial Walk, the birth of a city, which recalls six mayors who held office from 1874 to 1913. We will refer to the site numbers on the Merrill Memorial Walk map and landmarks along the way. Download your map from www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz. This walk is one of a series of heritage walks developed by the Nelson City Council. Much of the information in this guide comes from two histories of Nelson City Council, namely Unfinished Business by C.W. Bell and the Jubilee History of the Nelson City Council, printed by the Evening Mail in 1924. These books are both available at the Nelson City Library. The mayoral stories are chronologically ordered, so an overview of the development of the city is followed. But you may wish to view the graves in a different order to allow an easier walk in this attractive but hilly cemetery. Plots are divided into religious denominations, and coloured markers corresponding to denomination colours are found at regular intervals, with larger numbers noting the blocks and smaller numbers referring to the plots nearby. Good walking shoes are recommended, sunscreen and a drink. Take a picnic and enjoy panoramic views of Nelson Harbour. The closest cafe is at Founders Heritage Park, and closest toilets are at nearby Miyazu Gardens. Both of these visitor attractions are situated in Atifi Drive. For more information on Wakapuaka Cemetery, go to www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz, where a cemetery database, maps and more heritage walks can be found.
Our walk starts at the gates of the Wakapuaka Cemetery. To get here from the Information Centre by car, drive up Trafalgar Street towards the sea and turn right at the roundabout. Travel along State Highway towards Picton and take the first turning on your right into Atifi Drive, then first turning on the left. The cemetery is a short distance along the road. Park your car at the car park and enter the Gargiulo Memorial Gates. Whilst you can drive through the cemetery, there are very few places to park safely without blocking the narrow road. A bus service leaving from Wakatu Square also travels this way, or you can walk and cycle easily to the start of this trail along the Trafalgar Shared Pathway, which starts at the seawards end of Trafalgar Street.
The 14 hectares for Wakapuaka Cemetery were purchased by the Superintendent of Nelson in 1859 and opened as a cemetery in 1861. The layout followed a similar pattern to the Trafalgar Street Cemetery, with separate areas according to denomination. Burial records for all Nelson cemeteries can be accessed on the Nelson City Council website. A detailed map of plot layouts can also be downloaded if you are searching for anyone in particular. Family researchers should note that occasionally stonemasons made errors with dates and the spelling of names. See the information board at the entry gates for details of the many beautiful heritage trees that can be found in the cemetery.
Walk up the hill on the tar-sealed road towards the White Building, which is the crematorium and chapel. The road divides here. Take the upper fork, which veers to the left, and go over the cattle stop and continue to climb. There are fabulous views of the Haven as you wind up the hill. At the crest of the hill, you'll see a sign relating to John Gully. Continue to walk along the tar-sealed road. You will notice you are now in the Anglican section of the cemetery, which is yellow-topped wooden markers. Look for, on your right, a yellow-top marker noting Block 2, Plots 75 to 40. and go up the grassy trail between the graves. The trail is under the trees, and as it opens out, you'll see a large group of graves for the Dodson family on your left. The grave of Joseph Reed Dodson is at the far end and is site one on your map.
Joseph Reed Dodson died in 1890 in his 79th year and is buried here with his wife and son Henry. He had the honour of being the first mayor of Nelson from 1874 to 1875. Prior to his election, Nelson was administered by a board of works constituted under the Town of Nelson Improvement Act by the provincial government in 1853. The board was responsible for creating the rather rudimentary facilities of civilisation then existing in the town, a water supply, gas works, several miles of rough streets, bridges over the Maitai River, and the beginnings of a sewerage disposal system. In 1867, the Municipal Corporations Act gave Nelson the right to govern itself, but it took nearly 7 years until a city council was finally set up. This was accomplished quite simply. The members of the Board of Works became the members of Nelson's first city council. From among themselves, they elected Nelson's first mayor, Mr. Joseph Dodson. The idea was to maintain continuity by keeping in office men who were familiar with the city's affairs. The new council was keen to take over control of the harbour, which was showing a modest profit on its operations. However, this profit had previously found its way to the provincial government, and they had no desire to lose it, and countered with a request for funds owing on the gasworks. The bitter argument finally progressed to an audit, revealing a monumental muddle in the accounts of both bodies, but the worst were the city council accounts. In September 1874, a city council election was held to fill 4 more council seats, but the moment it was over, bickering broke out in the council chamber. The mayor ploughed on for 4 months, then he resigned, blaming the newly elected members for the bitterness which had crept into council affairs. He may or may not have been right, but it remains a fact that within a very short space of time, all the council's officials, with the exception of the town clerk, Mr. Wigsall, had been given notice of termination of their employment. Meanwhile, the financial muddle continued to compound itself. Blame for this was put by the town clerk fairly and squarely on the shoulders of the provincial government. That body, he alleged, considered it was still running the city, and continually made drafts on the council's funds without the council's knowledge. How could anyone keep records, he asked. No one really knew the true position. The final blow came when the town clerk presented to the bank a cheque for his salary. The cheque was dishonoured by the bank, as there was not enough in the account to meet it. When this became known, 5 councillors promptly resigned. The council, in addition to having no money in the bank, was left without a quorum, and Nelson's first venture into the realms of local government ended in disaster in January 1875. Dodson did a second happier term as mayor in 1877 to 81, when the principal actions undertaken were the widening of Haven Road so the railway could extend to the port. This happened despite ratepayers not sanctioning the proposal to raise loans to do this work. In 1881, there were 6,804 people in the city, and revenue was £4,520. The city became divided into wards after calls about favouritism with spending.
Standing at Dodson's grave, look to your right and walk to the nearby Tarsiel Drive, which then joins the main cemetery road you were on previously. Walk back the way you came up until you reach the junction. Take the road on the right, which continues downhill. You will see green top markers on your right and purple top markers on your left. The road continues around a corner. You now see yellow topped markers on your left, and then red topped markers denote the Catholic section. Take a defined grassy path leading you towards the picturesque Garran Chapel, and look out for the red top markers for Block 9. Site 2 is at Plot 6, about halfway down the row. Broad's tombstone has been restored and looks fairly new.
Lowther Broad, described as a district judge on his tombstone, actually held an extraordinary number of roles in the community, as resident magistrate, sheriff, registration and returning officer, registrar of poisons, sub-commissioner for government insurance, and warden of Wongapeka Goldfield. He was the man who stepped in when Dodson resigned, along with most of the councillors, in January 1875, and the first attempt at local government failed. He conducted the election for a new city council in April 1875. 7 nominees neatly filled 7 positions. Broad was a leading member of the Catholic community, and he also wrote The Jubilee History of Nelson, 1842 to 1892, before dying suddenly in 1892, aged only 52 years.
Retrace your way up the grassy path to return to the road. Cross the road and take a grassy path that runs between the pink Baptist marker on your left and the green Presbyterian marker on your right. As you proceed upwards, the markers on your right turn pink, then go through some pine trees and see yellow markers denoting your arrival in the Anglican section. At the marker for Block 34, see some old steps and a steep climb up to reach the road above. At the road, and on the other side slightly to your right, is the yellow-topped marker for Anglican Block 7. Site 3 on your map is the grave of Joseph Henry Levian and his wife, and is near the road. It is a large square pad with a very old tombstone.
Joseph Henry Levian was unanimously elected mayor by his fellow councillors in the newly formed council of 1875. This very energetic and able gentleman at once set to work to put the city's finances in order. He found that there was an overdraft of £1,722 and that only £477 of rates had been collected in the previous 7 months, and these by the personal solicitation of the town clerk. The mayor also ascertained that about £3,500 was lying to the credit of the gasworks account, but that the council could not obtain possession of the money except by permission of the provincial government. Everything was in a muddle. And it was typical of the state of affairs that when, on April 2, 1875, when the city surveyor was asking the council to relieve him of his duties as gas and water works engineer, that the gas went out and the council was left in darkness. But Mr. Levian was equal to the occasion. Toiling for 8 hours a day, from the time of his election on April 6, 1875, he reported that the city needed a town clerk possessing the fullest qualifications. He wanted a solicitor or a barrister, and to pay them a sufficient salary. From 20 applicants, a Mr. H.V. Gully, a highly qualified accountant and a barrister and solicitor, was appointed. From that time, the financial affairs of the city were managed with care and accuracy and kept in a sound condition. No sooner had Mayor Levian, with the assistance of Mr. Gully, straightened out the council's affairs then great plans were laid for a progressive movement, and the council requested the provincial government for authority to borrow £10,000 on the security of the city's rates. It was decided to engage a surveyor and a general manager at a substantial salary, and by the process of election, the old Board of Works were replaced. Sadly, this energetic man died in 1876, before really seeing the results of his hard work.
Walk down along the cemetery road until you come to the junction in the road and take the right-hand branch. The markers on your right change from yellow to green tops. Continue until you come to the green top marker for Presbyterian Block 6. Site 4 on your map is the imposing grave of Francis Trask, which has an angel atop a large obelisk and a chain fence around the concrete pad. The face of the tombstone is old and writing in parts hard to read.
Francis Trask steered Nelson through some very lean times, coming to office at the time of yet another typhoid epidemic, thought to be due to the poor sanitation still present in Nelson at this time. Trask served as a Nelson City Councillor for many years, from 1878, before becoming a mayor for 10 consecutive terms, from 1890 to 1900. He was held in high esteem and kept a steady course through the 1895 to 97 Depression. Happy moments came in 1892, when the enthusiastic 50th Jubilee celebration of Nelson took place. On the 1st of February, a Thanksgiving service was held in the open air at the foot of the church hill. Then a procession was formed. First came the guard of honour, furnished by the H Battery of the Artillery, then the garrison band, then old settlers, the mayor and councillors, members of parliament, visitors, clergy, orphanage girls, school children from town and country, then another band, friendly societies, the salvage corp and trades. This long procession, stretching nearly half a mile, made its way via Bridge Street and Normanby Bridge amid crowds of people up to the Botanical Reserve, where there had been erected a platform for various speakers, including R.J. Seddon, then the Archbishop of Redwood. At the government buildings, a sumptuous dinner was given to the old settlers, and nearly 300 old settlers sat down. Toasts were made to the Queen, the Royal Family, the Army, the Navy, and the old settlers. After the dinner, Mrs. Trask planted a Jubilee tree, a Wellingtonia gigantea, to commemorate the event, and the afternoon was given up to sports in Trafalgar Park. In the evening, there was a brilliant display of fireworks, which was witnessed by thousands of people assembled on the hills surrounding the city and at Trafalgar Park. Festivities were kept up during the ensuing week. There was a Jubilee ball, Jubilee races, a children's monster treat, a Jubilee concert, and excellent dramatic performances by the Grattan Riggs Company. Nelson celebrated its Jubilee with the utmost enthusiasm. During Trask's term, Rocks Road was completed, rather slowly, and making copious use of prison labour, and was finally metalled in 1897. Sam Jickle was a city surveyor and had great input into the design of the sea wall, which still stands today. Also during Trask's term, various great ideas, such as Councillors Ackerston's idea for separate systems for stormwater and sewerage, and treating sewerage, were suggested. However, during the Depression, it was a time of retrenchment, and decent sewerage waited over 10 years or more to be tackled. Trask had a passion for parks and gardens, and Queen's Gardens was developed during his tenure, and the Southern Garden Gates are a memorial to him.
retrace your steps up the road, or have fun devising your own route between the graves, as Site 5 on your map is again back in the Anglican section. See the yellow top marker for Anglican Block 9 and climb up the bank, and Site 5 is the grave of Joseph Orty Harley. This is easily found as it is in the large, recently upgraded family plot. It contains four generations of the family. Mayor Harley died in 1906, and the most recent addition was interred in 2002.
Joseph Orty Harley was a councillor on and off for 14 years before becoming mayor for a short term from 1890 to 1891. During his mayoralty, the chief concern of councillors seems to have been within reference to water supply. The city engineer was engaged to report with a view to improving the existing supply. He proposed the creation of a large storage reservoir at a point previously selected by the city surveyor. The estimated cost of these works was £28,344. However, council funds were low during this time, and ratepayers were not keen on large civic works, so this project, like many others, was dropped. The Jubilee history of the council records that councillors may not have had anything great to do, but they did it with meticulous care and infinite discussion, due to the disputatious character of certain councillors. Joseph was well qualified to make himself heard, as he was one of 14 children. His father, Charles, was the owner of the Carpenter's Arms Hotel, built in 1843. Which was the centre of social life at that time for the colony. Joseph was educated at Nelson College, going on to a job with the Magistrates Court, where amongst other duties he was collector of the sheep and dog tax. He left to become a brewer in 1871, capitalising on the family's experience of the brewery trade, and first became a councillor in 1876.
Return to the road and go downhill to the junction. Take the gravel track in the middle by the large Phoenix Palm and see the old general sign on your left. When the gravel road starts to veer to the left, you'll note a grassy path leads off to the right. Take the right-hand path, and the large ornate well-cared-for tombstone ahead on the right is the Field family grave, which is Site 6 on your map. Ursula Field is mentioned first on the stone, and she died in 1889, aged 62, and Field's daughters predeceased him as well. Thomas Field died 1918, aged 86.
In the early years of Nelson City Council from 1875 to 1911, mayors were elected for 1 year and councillors for two, which led to many non-consecutive mayoral terms. It also led to delays in making decisions around projects needing major expenditure. This changed to two-year terms for both councillors and mayors at the time Thomas Field took office in 1911. Field found his main task was to get the roads in order after the large water, drainage and sewerage works of past councils had finally been commissioned and completed. A proper sanitation system had faced many hurdles, with a loan being raised in 1906 and rates increased to cover the cost of such a major project. Successive mayors had disagreed on the best drainage scheme, but eventually work started in 1907 and was completed in 1910, and it cost £55,000, which did not cover the work of restoring the roads after the sewers were laid. During his term, the big dam was cleared up and patched, and Nelson was assured of a good water supply. In 1911, the City Council, by undertaking to provide £150 per annum for a term of 25 years, enabled the Nelson Institute and Library to be rebuilt, on the condition that the library and the reading room was open to the public, and that the Council was represented on the Library and Institute Committee by three nominees. Anzac Park was finally filled in after undergoing a long process of reclamation. Planting was started to create the lovely park we have today. It became a memorial to the many who died in the First World War and subsequent wars. When Field vacated the mayoral chair in April 1913, he went on to sit as Nelson's Member of Parliament. This completes our walk today.
To return to the start and the cemetery entrance, simply walk up to the cemetery road above and then walk down to the entry, or follow the path you are on, which eventually rejoins the same road lower down. If you're adventurous, find alternate paths between the graves. Take time to enjoy magnificent views of the Haven and the Boulder Bank.
We hope you have enjoyed this walk within the Wakapuaka Cemetery. Other walks are available in the cemetery, such as the Notable Women Trail. For more heritage trails around Nelson, go to the Nelson City Council website, www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz, search phrase Heritage Walks, or contact the Arts and Heritage Team Leader on 03 546 0200.